League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, before we get going, I just have a couple of announcements I want to put forward real quick. First and foremost, just a huge thank you to everybody who came out to the live show this past weekend. We've done a few live shows now over the years, and this was easily my favorite one. We had such a good time. We messed with a little bit of a new format, and it seemed like everybody just was having a great night. We definitely were, so thank you for that. And if you enjoyed it or you missed it and you want to come see us again or for the first time, we'll be back right there at the Terragram Ballroom in LA on December 3rd for our very last live show of the year. And hey, if you wanted to see the live show or you can't make it to the live show, the last one we did, we actually got recorded. So for everybody who's a patron at patreon.com/Illuminati Pod, you're going to get the live show for free. And for everybody who's not, don't worry. We're putting together a little package that we can give to everybody. It'll be the live show audio, the digital poster. It'll be the PowerPoint presentations that we did during the live show and hopefully some other stuff. Again, all of that will be given to the patrons for free. And then for everybody who's not a patron, we'll bundle it and sell it for something super cheap as soon as we have everything put together. So keep your eye out for that. And if you just want it when it comes out, head over to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod, the finest website.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
So much. Enjoy the show. Feeling relaxed after the main episode? Are we all feeling feeling good?
I'm not.
Chill?
No. There's nothing relaxing about brutal murder. No.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
No.
Well, I'm here to bring you what else but another UFO. This time
I thought you could say a story of brutal murder.
No murder on the minisode. Four UFOs were seen over Sacramento, California on September 30th this year with a video. It was caught on the freeway by a motorist. Let me just give you the boys.
Say Sacramento?
Sacramento. So you can skip ahead a bit and just like, you can jump to like 27 seconds. Yeah, a little Phoenix Lights-esque. There's initially three in a triangular formation. Eventually the three kind of slowly spread out and a fourth joins them.
I see the fourth. Yeah,
flickers into existence. You can see it. He catches it on camera when it kind of fades in, and it really does kind of like whoop. It just kind of fades into existence. And that's it. Like, there's really not much there. They're moving in a V to a straight line until eventually a fourth one shows up. And he's just filming it on the freeway. And he's like, I can't pull over. I'm on the fucking freeway. Like, trying to get this footage. He follows it all the way off the freeway, past like a gas station. Yeah. And it's just, again, another set of lights kind of just oddly lingering, moving, and just kind of being there and being weird. And that's all that really is to it.
This is really the whole video, isn't it? Yeah, this is like
Yeah, that's really it. Just like he checks it. I mean, the way the camera's moving and stuff, it doesn't look faked at all. It just looks like lights in the sky.
Yeah, it's really far away.
Yeah.
If it's fakeable, it's like almost a waste of a hoax.
Yeah.
Like it's not like realistic, like exciting enough to be a hoax, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. Yeah. It's all I'm bringing to the table. Like, I feel like for 4 or 5 weeks straight now, it's all been weird little UFO sightings every week. Something similar.
What's the name of that YouTube channel again?
Chilluminati? What one?
No, this one's called Hidden Underbelly 2.0.
Hidden Underbelly 2.0. What a fucking...
But yeah, that's what it's called, but the this is from MUFON.
Yeah, it was posted by MUFON, so it's not coming from him.
This is a real MUFON.
Yeah, thing. So I don't know. Another fascinating thing. I'm always interested to hear Jesse's takeaway from little UFO little videos like this.
I mean, you know, I never agree that they're real, but... you know, I think it's...
Well, you don't agree that they're aliens, but you agree that they're real.
I mean, not all UFO videos. I agree that most UFO videos are
the ones that
real
we
recordings.
A video
yes.
of like, a video of something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it so like in this case, it is lights. And the lights only form a pattern because humanity, our brains are designed to see patterns. And like, if you look at it from that aspect, it's just lights that could be on anything or several separate things.
But they're moving.
It doesn't mean that it's UFO. All I'm saying is, that's incorrect. Unidentified flying object is just, you know, anything. It doesn't mean it's aliens.
It's a UAP, all right?
Yeah, whatever they call them now, yes.
Whatever, Jesse.
Yeah.
Take it from me, all right? Give me something better. What do you have?
My topic is one that I accidentally this week, or I guess last week sometime, sent to, I have another chat where it is listed as
to Davis.
Yes, yeah, it's listed as MAJ, right? Which would be there's Mathis, Alex, Jesse, but the M in that stood for Michael Davis. It was a I forgot that Chilluminati is like literally named Chilluminati in my phone. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm gonna send this to you on Twitter. It's a link for a Reddit post that I saw this week where dude literally just said, hey, I created an example of my daily hallucinations. This is what I see when I hallucinate. This is like, he like posted an example.
Okay. I think I've seen this post.
And he has a weird like demon thing in it and stuff. But what's crazy about it is a lot of the comments were, oh, that's my sleep paralysis. Like that's the demon I see. Or like, oh, I've seen that thing before. Like that kind of stuff. And even though I don't know what to believe here, I did find it fascinating because it's something that we on the show have talked about frequently where people see the same things. And so I thought this was a very interesting Reddit post. It's called, I created an example of my daily hallucinations. And it's just this guy's art he made, I guess, with like computer generated. Because one of the things looks like a computer graphic of a little creepy man. But
yeah, it is like kind of stuck there.
But a lot of the comments are fascinating because people aren't like, oh, that's so, people are like, oh, I've seen that. Oh yeah, I know that thing. And I'm like,
yeah, it's like realistic enough finally to be representative of the thing that they see.
Yeah, this guy very accurately depicts, at least in my estimation, of what he sees when he's going through it. And it does seem like, damn, that would mess me up.
I got messed up from the very few times have you ever woken up like half asleep and hallucinated like something wild and like scary?
I've never hallucinated, but I have, I think really? I've said this before, I have, while on a plane, I woke up while sleeping because I was biting my tongue while flying, but my body was still asleep, so I couldn't unbite my tongue, and it hurt so bad that like when
That's crazy.
For days after, I still had teeth marks in my tongue, but I couldn't like wake my body up. That was crazy. So that's the closest I've ever come to sleep paralysis, but like, that wasn't pleasant. So if I saw some stuff, that'd be even worse.
Yeah, that's the worst. I can't imagine waking up and like being paralyzed and seeing something. Cause I've woken up a couple times where I've woken up and like the main thing I can remember seeing is giant spiders. like on my ceiling and wall, but like they never felt so real that I wasn't afraid. Like I would walk up to them and like they would disappear.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew was like, they're not real, but never pinned in my bed and unable to move. That would be the worst.
Like, I think this guy on Reddit, it's fascinating because it's very clear that he isn't like, I don't know, maybe he's tormented, but yeah, I don't know. Also, I just saw that, sorry, this post has been removed by moderators.
Yeah, I saw that too, actually. I thought that was going to be part of the story.
No, I just noticed that.
I wonder if it just got too wild.
But you can see the original image is, like, you saw this, right? You saw this image?
Yeah, yep, I see it. Yeah, I saw it on the same exactly, thing in the link, yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating that they removed it. Especially since everyone was like, oh yeah, no, I totally, that checks out with me. And I thought that was the most interesting part, because usually it's like, oh, that's cool, or like, oh, that's terrifying. But the fact that people were like, that's what I see, mm-hmm. that really interested me, because it goes back to the idea of what you keep saying about like people seeing the same thing. It's like when people talk about the witch sitting on their chest or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What is that? Like, what causes
that? I don't
know.
I know it's, that's fascinating. That's interesting to me. Like, that's something to like study. Why do we see the same things? Even if we're like across the world, even if we have no connection with each other, what does that mean?
It's like biological, mental brain stuff.
Maybe there's something like baked
like the light,
into our DNA that like
the light after death.
That's stuff we see.
So check it out. I have a story of brutal murder. Not really. I mean, sort of. So check it out. So like on October 1st, it started going around the internet again, just like it does every couple months, that somebody has found the Zodiac Killer.
Mm.
If you don't know what the Zodiac Killer is, sorry, we should do an episode on it. I'm sorry that we have.
The issue is like, I'd love to do a Zodiac Killer episode, and maybe we will one day, but there is no definitive ending to it. You know, there is no, we got him, bitch. Like,
yeah, that's kind of good though. That's the kind of interesting thing about the Zodiac Killer. But apparently somebody has found who it is again. This time it's a book called, where is it? It's called
My Friend the Zodiac.
How to Find Zodiac is the name of this book.
If I Did It by Zodiac Dekilla.
It's by this guy, Jarrett Kobeck, who was trying to do a book about California in the 70s at first. And then he kind of like went down a rabbit hole and ended up in Zodiac Town. And this is an article that I'm reading from The Guardian, where he's talking about how he did not set out to have one of those like, I now know who the Zodiac Killer is type books, because he thinks those are dumb. But like, he found a guy who's like a new guy who's so convincing that he's like, actually, he doesn't care. He's like, I gotta tell you that this is the case. And it's this guy whose name is Paul Doer, who's a guy from San Francisco who died in 2007. And some of the stuff is really interesting. Like, he believes that the Zodiac Killer is somebody who created a myth around himself, like a supervillain, like straight out of the comic books, is like how he sees Zodiac, this writer. And he thinks that this guy that is the Zodiac Killer was like a guy who has like all these little coincidences that are all kind of circumstantial, like a lot of them, like a huge amount. But like they're, you know, when you add them all up, it makes it impossible to deny that it's the Zodiac Killer. So basically, that's the idea of this. So basically, he started to put together the idea of the comic books and stuff, and he started tracing that to fanzines in the Bay Area, and he found this guy, Paul Doer, who was like submitting stuff to these like Bay Area zines and stuff, and he's a naval documents clerk from Fairfield, and he found a recipe that this guy sent to a magazine about how to make a bomb with ammonium nitrate and fertilizer. It has the same instructions with the same error of not including a starter and to keep the bomb ingredients dry. And that this was a formula that was published in a newsletter by a group called the Minutemen, which were like right-wing dudes. And that this guy was a member, and that this group used the gun sight symbol as its symbol sometimes, which is what Zodiac used.
Hmm.
And he worked in Vallejo in a shipyard. And he matches all the physical descriptions of Zodiac. And some of the attacks took place at places where his daughter hung out all the time. And he, speaking of his daughter, was knowledgeable in cryptography enough that he created a weekly puzzle for his daughter that she would have to solve to get her allowance.
Huh.
And literally this same woman, this alleged killer's daughter, thought that she was going to read this book and sue this guy, but then she got convinced by the book that her dad was the Zodiac killer. That's just kind of what happened. But then, just to add a little bit more gas to this fire, because this is like, you know, something that happens pretty frequently, right? Like, this is not like that exciting of news that somebody thinks they found the Zodiac killer in a vacuum. However, we know also that the dude, Paul Haynes, do you know who Paul Haynes is? He's an author. He did the, he wrote the HBO, he wrote the book that was like with Patton Oswalt's previous wife.
Yeah.
Where they solved the Golden State Killer case. So he did like a Twitter thread, and I'll link you guys the thread. It's a huge thread. He did a Twitter thread that's like 30, 40, 50 tweets long, where he like lays it all out, and it's like a huge in-depth thing. And this guy is 100% convinced that this is the Zodiac Killer. He's like, this is by far the most convincing guy that's been fingered for this in a long time. The San Francisco police will not comment. And, you know, who knows? But this guy, he said, you know what? Because also the Golden State Killer is like same area even, right? So this guy specifically has contacts at these like law enforcement agencies. And he was like, I am so convinced by this that I have gone through back channels, which I didn't even have enough evidence to go through for the Golden State Killer. So he's convinced that this really is Zodiac. So this, I think I'm calling this. This might be it. This might be Zodiac for real.
Yeah, this is. I'm going through it kind of briefly, but like, even the photos of him.
Yeah, he looks like the dude, mm-hmm. man. Like it's, and there's all these weird. He does like D&D LARPing.
Yeah, I'm saying he went to Renaissance fairs, and
so that explains why he would have like an executioner's garb. Like, there's he. Ever since he was a kid, he was like obsessed with writing letters to the editor. He admits to killing people. He like hints at it jokingly in some of his letters.
According to this, he was into cryptography, like you said, and published a cipher in his Tolkien magazine, Hobbitalia, 3 days after Zodiac sent his Z13 cipher to the police.
Yeah. If you go to tweet 9A, they show him at the Renaissance fair, a picture of him with a knife that looks like exactly like the knife that the dudes were stabbed with at the lake.
Man, this is like
the two rivets.
Fascinating.
This is very, very good. I'm like,
this is like real. Like, this feels real to me.
Part of me wants to be like,
and it's also his vehicle fits the description of what he was driving, which is crazy.
Yeah. Like, part of me wants to be like, this is one of those correlation is not causation things, but like, it is.
It's just too many. It's just too many.
Yeah. This is fascinating. This actually might be a good read.
Yeah. I'm thinking about buying this. Yeah.
In 15B, he simply is even comparing the way he draws arrows. Like pointing at things, and they're feathered arrows, both of them, which is weird.
They're like, look at them. Like, that's like not a thing people do.
I wonder, I mean, you said it doesn't have an ending, but I wonder if it's worth looking into this and then crafting an episode based off of this book.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. Like, who knows? I mean, LA Mag laid this out. Like, this might be the one. Like, San Fran might be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, they might already be moving on it, so. Let's keep our ear to the ground and see. This might be the frame. This might be the book that has the ending that we've been looking for.
Yeah, I'm definitely want to read this. This is crazy. Mm.
This might be the real final.
And it's genuinely, people are like, well, you know, what was his motive? But it, like you said, it literally just could have been a powerless man thirsty for power, and he constructed himself a real world supervillain that he could live as.
I mean, we literally are talking about that right now on the show. A person who wants power over someone else. I mean.
We watched it in the rotten popcorn that we did the other day.
Yeah.
Like, McAfee, dude, that dude is nuts. We should have talked about that on the main episode. That is a crazy move.
Yeah, that documentary story was fucking insane. Please, if you're on Patreon, get to that tier. Go listen to the latest Rotten Popcorn. Watch along with
us. God, it's
insane.
Like, but it also tracks, even if you like don't watch any of that stuff, if you saw Breaking Bad, the idea of a like, by the end of that, it wasn't about, I gotta save money for my, it was like, I am Heisenberg. Like, the power, man. The power over Crazy. Others. Yeah. That shit corrupts easily.
This is awesome. I'm going to go through this thread very, very deeply over, like, probably tonight after we get off this call. I'm very
that's cool
curious.
Shit. This is nice.
This is awesome. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. This is awesome. Sweet, dude. Well, with that, thank you all so much for supporting us here on patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode. As always, we appreciate your support. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to today's sponsor, Hero Forge. If you're anything like me, then you're a TTRPG person, or a minis person, or maybe just generally a board game person. Whatever your needs, Hero Forge is there to make sure you get everything that you need. If you've never messed with Hero Forge before, you should actually just go check it out. You can go create fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from to put together your perfect character for your campaign, or maybe you're making an NPC big bad guy and you want to have a special piece for them, or maybe you just want pieces for your mini board game. Either way, Hero Forge is the perfect place to go do it. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D in-depth character creator right in your web browser. Like, you can go make your character right now and then save it for later, totally free. So when you want to print it out yourself, which you can buy the STL file for like $5, or you can have them print it and paint it for you, your choice, and ship the mini directly to you. Hero Forge offers custom minis in a variety of materials, including premium plastic, antique bronze, and color-printed plastic options. Of course, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files, like I had said earlier, along with constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every single week, and major features like new species and custom posing on a regular basis. And with Hero Forge 2.0 color technology, it'll allow you to create your perfect miniature in color with advanced features like decals, makeup, war paint, and more. Design your unique miniature and get it printed in full color with no painting needed. All you have to do is visit heroforge.com to start customizing your custom miniature today and check back often. New content is added every week. That's all you got to do. Heroforge.com to start designing your miniature today. Thank you so much to Hero Forge for sponsoring today's episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
Oh, hello.
To minisode number 111. Lucky 111.
The mark of the bee.
Actually, it's a great state. Don't say beat, say bee, because that's what my first. That's what my article's all about today. Bees. Yeah.
Beads.
Not anal beads. Just bees, like buzz. You know,
okay,
honey
bees. Michael. Okay. Let's see who gets the most honey.
No. This is in my home state. It is absolutely not paranormal in any way, but it is hilarious news. This is Massachusetts. Hadley woman. It was accused of releasing.
Oh my God, I heard about this. This is
she was
incredible.
Accused of releasing bees on police officers that were serving her an eviction notice. Phenomenal. I'm a huge fan.
Hell, in
a bizarre story out of Massachusetts, a woman was arrested for allegedly unleashing a swarm of bees upon police officers who were attempting to serve an eviction notice.
The way it went down is
they were at a routine stop to deliver the paperwork, which quickly turned into like chaos when she pulled up with her truck and hitched up behind it was like a trailer carrying a bunch of beehives. She got out of the truck, walked to the back and basically smashed open the top of it and to anger the bees. The cops tried to stop her, but it was too late. By the time they got over there, the bees had already swarmed out and started coming at them. They had to retreat. One of the officers getting stung in the face. She then proceeds to put on a beekeeper outfit and stacks two hive boxes in front of the door where they need to go.
It's so, like an episode
you know what,
of,
man?
It's like the Sandman or something.
She's my
it's
hero.
Like a magical moment. Yeah.
When she was informed that by the authorities that several officers were allergic to bees, the woman just simply replied, "Oh, you're allergic? Good."
That was damn, oh my okay. God. I want to get a drink with this woman. I want to buy her a drink.
She is now being faced with multiple charges of assault with a dangerous weapon in the form of a swarm of bees, though. So we might not be able to have a drink with her anytime soon.
This reminds me of a story. Like, this story seems like totally crazy, but it reminds me of a story that I read. I think we might have done it for Cox and Crendor a long time ago as well, where a woman. Well, so like this guy was everywhere he went, squirrels would attack him.
Oh my God, I knew you were going into
this
story.
And he was just like, squirrels would always attack this guy. And it was eventually discovered that his ex-wife had secretly trained squirrels
to specifically
attack this man's nuts. That's no joke. It happened. And I've now realized, what are we doing? We could have animal pets doing all sorts of crazy cool stuff for us. Instead, we're like, my cat shits in a box. That cat could be doing all sorts of cool stuff.
I could be like the Crow Man of Culver City. Like, I could be
that. You could. Yes.
I could have like a jewelry collecting ring. Like the
How
bling
many
ring.
Yes. Like spent bullet shells do you think a crow would bring back to you in where you're out there?
Honestly, I don't ever hear them. So they're probably not great.
Yeah. We don't hear them. They don't happen.
They must be laser crimes.
No, I don't know. This woman, I would have a drink with you too. That's just such a creative way to show your displeasure.
Damn.
While also being put in jail for God knows how long.
I just want to know like how you went from like, yeah. Oh no, the cops are coming to evict me to I'm going to release my bees at them. Were they her bees? Is she a beekeeper?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have no idea if they were her bees. I don't know where she got the bees. I don't know how she...
Is it all some grand gesture? Is she a millionaire?
She's just a millionaire who just has more bees than she knows what to do with. So sicking them on officers was her answer. That's Massachusetts. Out in... God, she lived under 49 Memery Lane. M-E-M-E-R-Y.
You know what that is?
No, but memes.
Gotcha.
Just memes.
I thought you were about to like, I used to live down the street.
No, just Memery Lane. That's where she lived. That's
49
where it happened.
420 Memery Lane.
That would have been so much better. 420 Memery Lane. That's where the Boston Baked Bean Boy lives out in Massachusetts. That's where he lives.
420 Memery Lane.
Yeah, that's all I got, though. I just needed to talk about it. I saw this a few days ago, and I was like, this is a hilarious fucking story.
I've got an ancient mystery. What do you got, Jesse?
I have a... I don't even want to give you the headline. I don't even want to... Okay, I just want to read the article to you verbatim.
I got this thing from Live Science. That is this shrine that was found, I think, in 2019 in Berenike, which is it's the Red Sea. It's like a port town in the Red Sea. That was like part of like a big port for ancient Egypt. So this is like from 1700 years ago, this thing that they found. And it's there was a paper in the October issue of the American Journal of Archaeology, which is where they're getting all this information. And what they found was sort of like a shrine. And on the shrine was a stone monument with two gods that they don't know what gods they are. And there was a pedestal, and there was a 13-inch long iron harpoon next to the pedestal. And on the pedestal were 15 decapitated falcons, like the remains of 15 decapitated falcons. Now, we have the very real guy who does exist. He's a professor of religion at Boston University. His name is David Frankfurter. He says that the decapitation of the falcons, quote, seems to be a local gesture of completing a live offering to the god of the shrine. Says votive sacrifice of a live animal usually involves some kind of killing or blood asperging to show the commitment of the devotee. So that's just one room of this shrine. This is like a indoor type shrine. In another room, there's a stela, which is a pillar that has an inscription in Greek. And this is the part that is sort of like the selling point of this whole mystery, because nobody knows who these gods are. Like I say, nobody knows exactly why these falcons are here. On the pillar in Greek, it says, "It is improper to boil a head in here."
Well, you just don't boil a head in there. Huh. You got all those damn bird heads. Yeah. Don't boil them in there.
Don't let Dahmer in there, man. He can't boil his skulls in there. Yeah. He's not allowed.
Also on this stela are Harpocrates of Koptos, a child god, and two deities who are enigmatic. Nobody knows for sure who they are. One has a falcon head, they think, is what they're looking at, and the other one is a goddess who has a crown made of cow horns and a solar disc. And of all the deities on the stela, including Harpocrates, the falcon-headed one seems to be the biggest one. And I don't think this is whatever the other falcon-headed god is, because otherwise they would say it. I forget what the name of the falcon-headed god is. What is it? Ra?
I think so.
Yeah, or Horus.
It's Osiris, right?
Ra Falcon?
I can't remember. I don't remember. There's one that's a bird. There's like a bunch that are a bird. I don't think this is that god. They believe that the 15 falcons were an offering to deities, probably to the falcon-headed god, and that maybe the harpoon is also part of that offering because it was right next to the 15 dead falcons. They think they were boiled before being presented to the god to facilitate plucking their feathers. Their heads were removed. And the shrine also had fish remains, mammals, and bird eggshells. Some of these might have been offerings, and feasting may have happened there as well. So they don't know. But the birds, the falcons probably were not food just based on the quality, like where they were at. This was from the 4th century, like I said, about 1700 years ago. Nobody knows. This was when Rome was in Egypt, but it was still, it was like as Rome was like loosening their grip on Egypt is what I would call it. And yeah.
That's a cool ass find, man. I love that we still find shit like that.
Yeah, nobody knows what the hell. It's just crazy. I mean, like, it shows, basically, the thing that's interesting about it is that it shows that even when Christianity was in Egypt, that people who lived in Egypt were still doing the old school shit. Because this is absolutely not Christian at all.
No, and I think that's a cool point, too, because, like, a lot of countries where Christianity was brought to them, they would wrap their actual worshiping and wrap it in Christian imagery so that people, they wouldn't be able to be caught worshiping their gods. So they would use like a statue of Mary in place of whatever goddess they were actually worshiping at the time.
But that's also how Christianity spread as quickly as it did, because mm-hmm. they literally co-opted every religion. So they probably everything. See that like, yeah. Oh yeah, you like that tree? It's ours now. Or like, yeah, Easter? Yep. Bunny rabbits like that. Yeah. They just go up this
and
stuff.
It kind of creates a situation where you're imagining that maybe they were like, okay, you fucking cultists, you fucking non-conforming cultists. I guess if you want to do your stupid bird ceremony, you can do it in here, but I'll tell you one thing you're not going to fucking do is do that dumb thing that you do where you boil those fucking heads.
Don't boil. Not here.
That's fucking gross.
Not in here.
Yeah. So I bet you it was like that's kind of what they're thinking. Based on how this was all set up.
That's cool. Fine. Very cool.
It's like they think it's like maybe like a sanctioned shrine of the old gods.
That's
in
awesome.
A Christian.
Yeah. Is that the first of like a sanctioned shrine we've ever found? I wonder. Cause I never heard
I don't
of
know.
Like,
I mean, that's not canon. That's not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not canon to Earth history. Got it.
Yeah. That's just what they're talking about. They don't know, but it's, you know, this happened just a couple years ago. So,
all right, Jesse, what you got?
I'm not going to read the headline. We're just going to do this.
Love this.
Gainesville, Texas. No one would confuse a small house on Denton Street in Gainesville for a moving company, but if you do move in, you haul yourself out right quick. It's like a revolving door, said Linda Hill, the home's owner. The longest anyone stayed in this house was 6 months. Years ago, Hill and her husband bought several homes in the same neighborhood in order to rent them out. Not sure I agree with that, but, like, that's for another day. The one on Denton Street was the only one that couldn't keep a stable tenant. Hill said that she and her husband had no idea why. Then finally, after 10 tenants moved out in less than 2 years, someone told her husband the house was haunted.
Bum, bum, bum.
At first, Hill didn't believe it. No, she said. No, not at all. That changed when she happened to take a shower on the property, which is okay.
Dirty, horny ghost, dude, every time.
Through the curtain, she saw and then heard a dark figure whisper, looking good at her.
Oh, God.
Ooh, it's the big red guy.
It's the big red guy.
At first, she assumed it was her husband, till a few seconds later when her husband walked into the bathroom. He said, who are you talking to? And I was like, oh my God, it really is haunted. Rumor has it the house was built in the 1840s. It used to be a bordello. That's why Hill said many of the ghosts there tend to reveal themselves in a particular nature. Sexual, she said. There's no other way to put it. Hill said several people have EVP recordings where the ghosts can be heard talking dirty in the house. Like, oh yeah, baby. Oh, baby. Oh yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's really what this article says.
That's yes, it says. Yeah, oh, that's yeah, like Hill baby. Said mimicking oh, what she's
yeah,
heard.
Baby.
Oh do yeah, it, I like bitch. It like that was another.
I
thing.
Like it like that.
Yes, yes.
I like it like that.
That's what the article
that.
Says. Not all the ghosts here are that way, though. There's a door in the upstairs bathroom that regularly opens even after it's been shut tight. There's also been, there's apparently a 19-foot well underneath the living room, and some people believe it's a spiritual portal, which they have said may explain how the ghosts end up in the property. And this isn't even like a goof. This is, how do I send you this link? This is an image of the 19-foot well in the middle of the property that is like a centerpiece that when you own the house, I guess, you straight up just get to have that in your home.
Oh. What the f-
I don't
Why would
like
you
that.
Want that? That's just like that's just gonna give every child that looks at it nightmares.
That is
forever.
A serial killer spot, man. You yes. just like get the body, dump it down the middle of the room well.
You say that, she says, it's the murder room, she
oh,
called
okay.
it. Why that name?
Okay.
Because some psychics claim to have seen a dead man lying on the floor in that room. No, really, almost every psychic that walks in here sees that dead man. For those reasons and more, Hill eventually gave up finding tenants to lease her property. Now she rents the house out exclusively to people who want to investigate the ghosts reported to live there.
That's what they should do at 10 Downing Street.
So I'm just saying, oh boy, roasted.
Little British political humor for
got
you.
Got him.
No.
But, yeah, I guess that is, I mean, just put it out there. That's Texas. We could drive on over, stay the night. I feel like if there's ever a ghost adventure we should go on, is the house where the ghosts are like, hey, baby.
What up, baby?
Looking good. I would be like, let me be in a room alone. And if a ghost was like, looking good, I'd be like, you looking pretty good yourself, ghost.
How you know what we should do? We should put you in a room and put like a fucking mannequin with you in the room. Like a sexy mannequin so that you have something to ogle. And then you kind of like, you should put the mannequin in the bed and kind of like get in the cupboard like you're doing like a little like, you know, voyeur.
Oh, yeah, I'd be in situation. The cupboard looking at the mannequin. If there was a ghost with me in the cupboard, I'd be like, you see that?
Yeah.
And he's She's like, hot, oh, buddy. Shit. Yeah.
Can you imagine if that's how you had like a really intimate paranormal?
I would believe more. If a ghost came up to me and was like, look at the bazongas on that one, I'd be like, my man.
The ghost of Al Bundy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's that fucking magazine that he has? Biggins?
Biggins? Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. Incredible.
I'd fuck a ghost. Don't worry.
I know. I'm not worried.
Whoa.
I don't even
this
ask
This is about banging a ghost. This is about voyeur ghosting. Where the ghost and I watch. We're like, yeah, that's hot. And he's
You're
like.
Sitting there looking at nothing because it's a ghost.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, God. Shit. I bet it's
I
so
would,
hot.
Look, I'm just saying, put it out there. We could just go. They only rent it out to people who are going to do investigations. I think we should. That's the spot. The sex ghost house. That's the spot.
All right, I'll check them out. I'll send a message to
them. The bordello of blood. What is the bordello of blood?
I don't know. What is that?
What is that? Hold on. What is
sounds like a horror movie?
No, that's
I've never seen it. Then
Bordello of Blood, 1996 film.
It's a movie. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. It's a Tales from the Crypt. That's what it is.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Well, this Tale from the Crypt is over.
I can rest
everybody.
Easy now.
We'll be back. Not next week with a minisode. The week after. I'd think about that one for a second. Thank you guys so much for the support over here on Patreon. And we're going to see you at the live show. Hell yeah. Smile for us and smile for us big. And if you're listening to this for free, this is probably a year old. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a minisode episode 111. Lucky 111.
The mark of
we need
the yeast.
Yo.
Need a little, breather. We finished another true crime series, gentlemen. I'm proud of both of you. Here we are. Something a little lighter, I think, from everybody. I'm going to start because it's been 2 weeks since we've done a minisode, and I've been wanting to talk about this with you, mostly because I'm curious what Jesse thinks. I know very sporadic things. You probably know this is coming. On October 24th, NASA made a public announcement that has been driving me nuts, and I can't wait. So if you don't know what happened, NASA has an official announcement. NASA has selected 16 individuals to participate in its independent study team on unidentified aerial phenomena
observations of events in the sky that cannot be identified as aircraft or as known natural phenomena that are categorized as UAPs. The independent study is going to begin on October 24th, so it's already started. And over the course of 9 months, the independent study team will lay the groundwork for future study of the nature of UAPs for NASA and other organizations. To do this, the team will identify how data gathered by civilian government entities, commercial data, and data from other sources can potentially be analyzed to shed light on UAPs. It will then recommend a roadmap for potential UAP data analysis by the agency moving forward. They expect a full report in mid-2023 for everybody to read. The big things that come along with this are who are the 16 people that are part of this team that I think can maybe give an idea as to where they're looking. I have that list here. There's David Spergel, which I love that name, who was selected to chair...
Straight up Independence Day vibe.
David Spergel was selected to chair the NASA's independent study on this phenomena. He is the president of the Simmons Foundation, where he was the founding director of its Flatiron Institute for Computational Astrophysics. And his interests range from the search of planets and nearby stars to the shape of the universe. That's like his specialties. Then there's Anna Maria Barea, who is an associate professor of computational and data science at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, who she is also a research affiliate with the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California, and a research investigator with Blue Marble Space Institute of Science in Seattle. So she's all over the place there. Frederica Bianco is a joint professor at the University of Delaware in the Department of Physics and Astrophysics. The Biden School.
I'm a professor as well.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. I am too. I'm more of a professor of.
Time out. No one could see that. But in the background of Alex is literally his wonderful fiance turns to camera. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I missed it.
Amazing. Oh my God.
Anyway, so she has Frederica Bianca. She's also so joint professor at the University of Delaware in the Department of Physics and Astrophysics, the Biden School of Public Policy and Administration, and a senior scientist at
I know.
It's all
watch out. Q's about to lose their mind.
Deep state, dude. And she's also a senior scientist at the Multi-City Urban Observatory. Paula Bontempi has a biological oceanographer for 25 years. She is the sixth dean and second woman to lead the Graduate School of Oceanography at the University of Rhode Island, which that's what URI is known for, biology.
Really, really, really quickly. Is there anyone on this list who's like Steve Johnson, mechanic?
Man.
Yeah, all these people very highly qualified.
Gymnast.
Is there anyone they just invited who was like, podcast maker
gun expert.
No, there's no influencers that are part of this, unfortunately, Jesse. No influencers made the cut. Otherwise, I would hope I would be on the list.
Everyone's messaging us like, are you guys gonna get involved? And I just was like, how low on the hierarchy of like smart geniuses did they get?
I don't think they want to walk into the office every morning with me like jerking off to gray alien porn.
Can
you know what I mean?
Like,
that's not gonna help. Why would you do that?
That's not going to help anything, is what I'm saying.
We already have one joint professor. We don't need another. I don't care what kind of joint you're talking about.
Then they partnered with the Reggie brothers, who are an operating partner.
No, that's not real. What are you talking about?
No, it is.
The Reggie brothers.
They're an operating partner at AE Industrial Partners in Boca Raton, Florida. He previously served as CEO and board member of Big Bear AI in Columbia, Maryland. And Reggie Brothers is the man's name.
Oh, his name is Reggie.
Yeah, they're not
brothers.
The Reggie brothers.
Said two brothers named like
I was
the
like, first
like,
names
like,
are both
no,
Reggie.
No, Reggie brothers, Reggie. Space Brothers, like it's
no,
his last
it's
name.
Reggie and Luigi Reggie.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Reggie.
Yeah, CEO and board member of Big Bear AI, which is in Columbia, Maryland, and he's also was the executive vice president and chief technology officer of Periton, as well as a principal with the Chertoff Group. Don't know what that is. Jen Boos is a CEO of the Potomac Institute of Policy Studies in Arlington, Virginia. Before she became CEO, she worked extensively with NASA to explore policy issues and strategic planning processes for astronaut medical care and cancer diagnostics and therapeutics. Nadia Drake is a freelance science journalist and contributing writer at National Geographic. She also regularly writes for Scientific American and specializes in covering astronomy, astrophysics, planetary sciences, and jungles. And she's won awards for journalism for her work in the National Geographic, including the David N., whatever that is, that award she's won.
Oh, that's a big, that's very award, prestigious.
Yeah. Also won the SRAM Award from the High Energy Astrophysics Division of the American Astronomical Society and the Jonathan Eberhard Award from the AAS Division of Planetary Sciences. So
that's impressive as well. The Chertoff Group is a risk analysis group, if you're curious about that.
Ooh, interesting.
Who does Hank Azaria play?
All of them, actually. Every single one.
Mike Gold, an executive vice president of civil space and external affairs at Redwire in Jacksonville, Florida. Prior to that, he held multiple leadership roles within NASA, including associate administrator for space policy and partnerships, acting associate administrator for the Office Internal, International, and Interagency Relations, and other things throughout.
A ton of stuff. I love this because with each person you're mentioning, I can absolutely see where they fit into this like A team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. It makes sense.
Avatar, the like blue monkey people movie.
Yeah. I guess the kind of like that.
They're like, we're bringing in like a blue monster expert and a jungle expert and a rock expert.
It really is.
Yeah.
This next person, David Greenspoon.
If this is all James Cameron and it's like a ploy to sell the movie, I'm going to be mad.
It's a marine biologist.
I would quit this podcast if this was all viral marketing for Avatar 2.
That's like not that far off from like what is probably going to really start happening on like Twitter and shit now.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. David Greenspoon is a senior scientist at the Planetary Science Institute. Greenspoon.
Okay.
All right. Planetary Science Institute in Tucson, Arizona, and serves as a frequent advisor to NASA on space exploration. He is on science teams for several interplanetary spacecraft missions, including the Da Vinci mission to Venus. He is the former inaugural Baruch S. Bloomberg NASA and Library of Congress chair in astrobiology.
Oh my God.
Yeah, his research focuses on comparative planetology, especially regarding climate evolution and the implications of habitability on Earth-like planets. He's been awarded the Carl Sagan Medal and a bunch of other shit.
What the fuck what was the criteria for these people?
I don't know. Next up is Scott Kelly, who was former NASA astronaut, test pilot, fighter pilot, retired US Navy captain. He commanded the International Space Station Expeditions 26, 45, and 46. He was also the pilot of the Space Shuttle Discovery for the third Hubble servicing mission. He was selected...
Gem-based weapons expert.
Yeah. He was selected for a year-long mission to the space station where he set the record at the time for the total accumulated number of days spent
coolest
in space.
Coolest astronaut. Yep.
And prior to NASA, he was the first pilot to fly the F-14 with a new digital flight control system. He flew the F-14 Tomcat in Fighter Squadron VF-143 aboard the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower.
So he's literally just fucking Hal Jordan, basically.
If you've never heard of Scott Kelly, Scott Kelly's the dude who I don't know if he holds the record anymore, but at a certain point in time, he was like the longest International Space Station guy.
I like know his face. He's so famous.
Yeah, he was. It's like a year.
You've probably seen him.
Yeah, he was. He's the guy who, when he came back from Earth, people were like, we got to study this man because he's been in space longer than any other person. And his whole body is probably like,
it's probably like fucking floating around in there and shit.
Yeah.
And if anyone's curious, if he's one of the ones that believes in UFOs, he does not. He does not believe in aliens.
That's good. So that's what you want.
I agree. I think that's a good thing that he is on this particular group. We're almost done with the list of names. Matt Mountain, who's the president of the Association of Universities the University of Mountains, for research in astronomy known as ORA. At ORA, Mountain oversees a consortium of 44 universities nationwide and four international affiliates who help NASA and the National Science Foundation build and operate observatories, including NASA's Hubble Telescope and the James Webb Telescope. Warren Randolph is the Deputy Executive Director of the Federal Aviation Administration Accident Investigation and Prevention for Aviation Safety Department. He has an extensive background in aviation safety at the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, and is currently responsible for setting and implementing safety management system principles and using data to inform the assessment of future hazards and emerging safety risks. Walter Scott is the executive vice president and chief technology officer of Maxar in Westminster, Colorado, a space technology company that specializes in Earth intelligence and space infrastructure. In 1992, he founded Digital Global, which became part of Maxar in 2017. He has held leadership positions at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in Livermore, California, and was the president of Scott Consulting. Then there's Joshua Semeter, who is a professor of electrical and computer engineering, as well as the director of the Center for Space Physics at Boston University. He researches their interactions between Earth's ionosphere and the space environment. Activities in his lab include the development of optical and magnetic sensor technologies, radar experiment design and signal processing, and the application of tomographic and other inversion techniques to the analysis of distributed multimode measurements of the space environment.
I cannot stress this enough. If you deep dive these people, the best way I can describe it is like, they make the stuff that you build in like a 4X space strategy game.
Yeah. They're like the guys doing the research that you're fucking.
Yeah. I swear to God, like if you go to the Maxar
you're
page, for example,
right
they're
now
like,
and we're researching.
We build space platforms from which we can. I'm like, this is literally just like, this is all future tech. This is the coolest shit ever. I love it.
I do too. The last is only two more. Carlin Toner, who is the acting executive director of the FAA's Office of Aviation Policy and Plans. Previously, she served as the director of the FAA's global strategy, where she led the FAA's international strategy and managed threats to international civil aviation. Prior to the FAA, Toner served at NASA in multiple leadership positions, including director of the Airspace Systems Program at NASA headquarters. She is a NASA Exceptional Achievement Medal recipient and is an associate fellow for the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics.
Just think about what you have to do to be exceptional at NASA when everyone's already exceptional. Like, you get the job by being a genius.
Yep.
And already they're like, you're the genius of geniuses.
And
like,
to round this group out, I think the perfect last person, Shelley Wright, who is an associate professor of physics at the University of California, San Diego Center for Astrophysics and Space Studies. She specializes in galaxies, supermassive black holes, and building optical and infrared instruments for telescopes using adaptive optics, such as integral field spectrograph. She is a search for extraterrestrial intelligence researcher and instrumentalist, SETI, as well. She is also the principal investigator for the UC San Diego Optical Infrared Laboratory. Previously, she was an assistant professor at the University of Toronto's Dunlap Institute. So we have somebody there who is on the investigative kind of extraterrestrial side. Not that she believes, but she's part of
she's
a proper research
vibe,
group.
Yeah.
Exactly, that looks at that stuff and has been for a long time.
The fucked up
and that
thing
is
would be
the
like,
NASA UAP supergroup.
The crazy
that is
thing
who
would
they
be
put together.
Like if they had like ancient symbol experts and shit on there or something.
That would be, I feel, a bit telling. Well, but I'm sure maybe some people already do.
Yeah.
There's an article on Vice that I don't know the link, but I know it's there. There's an article that I read on Vice that's literally about how, remember that weird shaped asteroid, meteor, whatever it was, that
the
came into the
one?
Solar system. Yeah, mm-hmm. The one that people were like, what the hell? And then it suddenly sped up, and it made no sense. They're like,
right. It
shouldn't mm-hmm. speed up. They scientists right now are trying to like figure out a way that we can create micro missions to, so if something enters, like if a meteor or something, so we can have like people, like I don't know if it's people, but maybe AI, what the hell, out there. And if something enters, it goes to it and sees, is this a ship or is this a rock?
Mm.
Like, they're already thinking about that.
That's
based
awesome.
On that one single time.
Yeah, because
where
they still
like,
can't scientifically explain why
it makes
it happened.
No sense. Yeah.
It
yeah.
doesn't make any fucking sense. Yeah, which is fucking fascinating. The group here is great. I love that they got an ocean biologist. Like, because what if this shit's coming? We've seen them come out of the oceans.
Yeah.
We've seen them go in the water. And we, know 2% of our ocean? Like, I am almost more apt to believe.
I'm like getting real turned on to that idea lately. I don't know why.
That they are terrestrial. They're from Earth.
Like, yeah.
They're not from space.
But what if they're from a different dimension in the water, Mathis?
That's possible. That's very possible.
They're from that hole where all the great white sharks
go. What if they're terrestrial
go?
Species that live on Earth under the water that is already space capable?
That's what I think.
That
is traveling the space and we're being ignored.
I mean, look,
like,
I'm gonna see
animals.
I'll see Black Panther 2 tomorrow. Yeah. So like, I'll let you know.
I'm excited to see that movie.
Did you see
I'm
the unsolved? Did you see Unsolved Mysteries? Did you see the Alien?
I saw
episode?
That there's new ones, and there's two that I need to watch. That people said that the one with the I forget the name of the event where like 300 people saw.
Yeah, you gotta
crazy
watch
lights
that
in the
is
sky.
Like in Michigan. That is a yes. crazy episode. And then there's also this like Navajo like reservation cop rangers like mm-hmm. episode that is like so interesting. Those are two that are really worth watching. I mean, there's a lot of Agreed. Murder ones too, where they love to like. Talk to the families who are just like, we are so sad.
We'll definitely cover that event on this episode. It's one of the things I want to talk about very, very badly.
There's a lot to talk about after watching that episode, for real.
I've got a short list of like four or five Alien episodes that I want to cover. They're on in the works. So I'm very excited about that. But I'm just, this team makes me happy. It's like what I would put together if I was going to try and put together a team to scientifically try and figure this shit out or yep. what it could be. It has everybody from like scientific people who deny aliens are real to people who are researching extraterrestrials to the marine biologists and fucking astronauts. It's perfect. Yep. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Can't wait to see what they fucking like report. I'm very interested.
I'm very excited. Anyway, on that, I feel I'm like satisfied. Go ahead, boys. Whoever wants to take it from here.
I got something crazy. Okay. That's really quick. First off, before I even jump into this, my God, we missed some episodes there, and so much crazy stuff happened.
I know, two weeks, and we missed so much.
That's
shit.
What I like about it. It's a lot more material for me to sift through.
Like there is, in the time that we were gone, scientists literally created a quantum clock that does not have a zero time.
What?
Like
that's awesome.
It is a quantum clock that has no start, which is based off the idea that what if there was no like.
Time?
Start.
Yeah.
What if shit just like always has been? It's insane. But because I'm on the quantum train right now, I don't want to go there. I want to do something really important.
Okay.
Over on TikTok.
Oh, here we go.
Oh yeah, we know it's good if it's from TikTok.
There is, again, this happens every so often, and I absolutely love it because it is just insane. There is someone claiming to be from the future.
Now, we always get one of these every couple
is
of years.
No one, is there nobody around? Is it one of those?
No. It's even better. This time traveler named Eno Alaric from the year 2671.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Has warned us, which, by the way, means we make it to 26. That's pretty good.
I'll be long dead by then. That's great.
Yeah. From 2671, who says they have come back from the future to warn us. About events that will happen.
Fantastic. Did anybody thank them first?
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to that. In the latest video, Eno warns that on June 18th, 2023, seven people will mysteriously fall from the sky, but there's nothing flying overhead in that area.
If that happens, wow.
We got a while. So I'm going to forget about this by the time this time comes around.
Well, this person said that when they made their account, I'm a time traveler from 2671. I have come back to warn you of five important dates in the history of mankind. Now, again.
One is that? Seven people will fall out of the sky?
I have so many questions. Does that alter his future? Why is he even telling us? What is the point?
It already doesn't make any sense, but here's the best part. That isn't the first thing that happens. No. That's only the most recent post. You see, the first thing that happens, this is in chronological order.
Okay.
November 30th, 2022.
Uh-oh.
Okay, very soon.
The James Webb Telescope will discover a planet that is a mirrored version of Earth. And then on January 1st.
Wait, we're going to discover the Star Trek mirror dimension?
We are literally going to discover that one movie that there was just another Earth.
Everybody has goatees there.
And then on January 1st, 2023, a plane flying over the Bermuda Triangle will go missing. That is an important moment.
Oh my God. What is this? What kind of predictions are these?
This shit. Please go re-listen to our Bermuda Triangle episode and see why Bermuda Triangle is a whole mound of horseshit.
But wait, it only gets better. On March 3rd, 2023, a message will be received all around the world that seems to be coming from the ocean.
Oh shit, they're from our waters. Max Headroom style, just like taking over the airwaves.
I guess.
Time, baby.
Just imagine all those TikTok videos that are kind of creepy that have the weird music in the back. It's like that kind of vibe.
It's like the guy that whose post that we had on Reddit who was like, here's all the things that are going to happen when the aliens show up and I can't, they hate me, they've been abducting me forever. And then none of that happened and he deleted his account.
Well, of course. May 15th, 2023. Ooh, right before my birthday.
Right after mine.
This is bad news for my birthday. A 750-foot mega tsunami will hit the California coast, but mostly San Francisco.
Hey! All right. The podcast can continue.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Eno, believed to be from the U.S., previously shared information about twin planets with Earth, alien visitors, and even portals opening to other times. But his warnings have been met in the past with doubt.
Yeah, I wonder why.
My favorite part about this entire thing is that in the comments, you can imagine what the comments would be, but the best one is absolutely, why is it always bad news? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And that is how I feel about all, it's never like, hey y'all, I'm from the future and we're doing pretty good. In a year, you're all going to like figure shit out. And I just want
to
let you know, thank you.
Ice cream cone eruption in the middle of downtown Los Angeles.
It's always just like the world's ending. Here's like some crazy stuff's going to happen.
Aliens arrive and the humans are like enslaved. It's never good,
yeah,
aliens. Like,
there's no one around. I'm in the future. There's no one around or I'm an alternate. It's always the darkest thing you could think of. And it always immediately is just like, well, yeah, because that's if you're just doing a thing, you're trying to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And no one's going to be hyped about like the ice cream eruption, like no one's gonna
yeah,
people are gonna be like ha,
except for us.
Yeah, dude, I'll be there with bells on.
There is that deep-seated like subconscious
love
desire for the world to come
to
an end, and also ice cream, but mostly the world to come to an end for a lot of people, and they'll look for anything to justify that thought.
I will say one of the things that I thought was funny is that a lot of his predictions, this they made it to Facebook. Because, you know, of course, Facebook
is just gone, dude.
While TikTok was like, well, this is stupid. Facebook was like, I know it's not real, but I really want another Earth to be out there. Another person said like, yo, if they landed at my place, I'd invite the aliens over for tea. And then everyone else was like, damn, this sounds so cool. And I'm just kind of like, of course, Facebook would be like, this could happen.
It's a movie. There is a movie of this.
Well, of course there is.
Yeah, this movie is
so
like
dumb. So
in the
dumb.
Last 10 years it came out.
So Alex, bring us home, my man.
Okay, I got a mystery.
I want aliens though.
I got a mystery for you coming out of Portugal. Here's what's up. So Portugal, as you know, pretty small country. I think there's like 10 million people there, but also it's like pretty small. So for the size, 10 million people is kind of a lot. And as people are dying, bodies are piling up in morgues because they are, like, older bodies are mysteriously mummifying themselves and not decomposing fast enough. So,
what?
Yeah. So let me get into this first of all. So like I'm saying.
Sounds unfortunate.
If you imagine a small European country like Portugal, you're going to see those, like, graveyards that you imagine, like a cemetery from, like, antiquity, like tiny little churchyards and graveyards, right? That's like the sort of main way that people get buried in a place like Portugal. And they really don't like the idea of cremation, stuff like that. So what they do is this thing called levantando os ossos, which means raising the bones. And basically this started in 1962. And what they do is they bury their dead, and then the original thing was that they would just, when they brought in somebody new, they would like, you know, kind of like rotate out the old bodies into a common ossuary, right? Like the ones that were like pretty fucking old and fucked up, they would like take them out and put them in like a common kind of zone so that they could bury these newly dead people in these plots. And eventually it got so bad that they started to treat the burial plots themselves as like rentals, like 3 to 5 year rentals. And they would come back after that time and like move out the old body, put it in the ossuary, bring the new bodies in. But basically the reason that this system is breaking down is because the time is so short. And in that time somehow, and they're not exactly sure how, but between 2006 and 2015, 55 to 64% of the bodies not decomposed enough. And maybe it's the mountain air or something like that, or maybe it's the composition of their diet that's like changing their body chemistry in a way that's keeping these bodies from decomposing. But most experts agree that that's not enough time for a body to really decompose anyway, and that the extra is just kind of like a random thing for this area that's really kind of making it a big problem. So you've got a fucking mummy backup, like insta-mummy backup graveyard traffic jam going on in Portugal, and nobody can really figure out why the bodies are mummifying.
That's so weird. And they can't cremate them? Or are they like, against
just,
their belief?
People don't really like it. People aren't really into it in Portugal. Like, we're a pretty modern society here. Our civilization in America is just a couple hundred years old as far as, you know, modern society is concerned. So, you know, we burn our dead because we don't have that sort of long-standing sentimentality that some of these other cultures have. But they just don't want to do it. So, you know, now you have this mummy problem.
You got a mummy traffic issue. The Siri's new alert.
I just think that's such a wild problem.
It is very bizarre. Yeah. And if it is to do with the mountain air or the weather, I can't help but think, does like, you know, climate change affecting that? I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
You'd think that if it was hotter or whatever, that it would be more.
Drier means more mummification.
Well, there's also. I seem to, I was just trying to look this up and I can't find it. It's driving me crazy. I seem to recall that there was, at a certain point in time, another situation similar to this, but it wasn't as big in scale. But they discovered that it was like what they ate.
That's what Alex said. It could be their diet that affected
their
chemistry.
They're not sure. And it's basically just highlighting the fact that there are like aspects of human decomposition or body decomposition in general that we don't really know anything about, like, or that we aren't really 100% clear why, you know, how to predict which body's going to decompose in however many years or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Just a funny attention-grabbing headline that there's like a mummy mystery going on, and I found that the actual like explanation for it is even weirder than what I was imagining. So there you go. Little biz for you.
Well, thanks for that weird little piece of news of mummies blocking some roads. This mummy is going to go eat dinner. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Are you a mummy?
You're the dinner mummy?
I mean, like, you know, English mummy.
The dinner mummy sounds like a 1960s comedy movie.
I'm the dinner mummy.
The English dinner mummy. A movie that might actually exist and I have to watch next time I go to Alex's.
I don't think I have that one.
All right. Well, Dirty Harry number two is then.
I got the whole Dirty Harry collection.
Oh, I can't wait. Maybe Hot Mary makes a return.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another minisode. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the... I don't know who they are. There's two...
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No.
Neo and Trinity.
No.
I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two... Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And has been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. Which one of you is Dick Powell?
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox.
I want to love you. I want my mind. I want to not eat. I want my body. I want to not eat.
everybody. Welcome back to the Truluminati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.